I suspect you will agree with me when I say that life in the world we live in today is extremely challenging. Actually, it's really never been different. We live under an illusion if we think that somehow, somewhere, life will magically become easy. But yet, we struggle to feel that we can handle all of life's demands and onslaughts. The Ephesians, to whom Paul wrote, also felt this way, even though their context was drastically different. To a certain degree, their lives were a lot more difficult than we can imagine. But then again, in other respects, they also had it easier. Even though Paul never met Jesus, he had a phenomenal understanding of the heart of the gospel. As we know, the letter to the Ephesians was written to the believers in Ephesus who lived in a non-Christian society. Paul tries to help them to understand what it means to live according to the Jesus way. When we remind ourselves that Paul's writing this letter while in prison and finds himself in anything but desirable circumstances, the letter to the Ephesians becomes even more significant. He could identify with the believers who found themselves in a context where life was extremely difficult and challenging. And then in Ephesians 3, we find this touching prayer from verse 14 onwards. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through the faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask for or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This passage is so rich, but today I would like to focus on the fact that we can experience God's power through prayer. Over the century, many books have been written and a lot have been said about prayer, and often we try to reinvent prayer. Perhaps it's because prayer is so simple that we want to make it more complicated. One of the main principles that I'm personally very aware of is that prayer does not work like the proverbial magic wand. Unfortunately, this magical way of thinking can be very dangerous, but I'm not going to expand on that today. The one who is changed by prayer is me. And why? Because when I pray, I open myself to the working of God's Spirit. God's Spirit does in me what He alone can do. Prayer reminds me that my path with God and the inner transformation that God wants to accomplish in all people is not primarily my path with myself. It's not a lofty kind of self-help project that quickly teaches a few new techniques or sign up for the latest obsession or buy a new book. It's not my own project with myself, but God's process with me. Of course, there are many ways in which God's Spirit shapes and transforms us, but one of the most promising ways is when I spend time with God. The Spirit of God is without a doubt the main force through which everything we are comes into existence. The Spirit is literally the origin of all life. Nothing can exist without the Spirit. There's no potential for life without the Spirit. Once we realize this, we realize that the Spirit is God's power that works in the world in general, but specifically in the lives of believers. It is the same force that created the earth and everything on it. It is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. And this is the same power that God has made available to everyone who believes. Let's dwell on this for a moment. Let's remind ourselves that the same power God utilized to create our universe is at work inside you, constantly, every day in endless unseen ways. But let's go further. Imagine how the same power with which Jesus Christ was raised from the dead is at work inside me and you. So where do I get this idea? Listen to Ephesians 1, verse 19. I pray that you may know how great is his power that he exercises in us who believe. It is the same powerful operation of his power that he exercised when he raised Christ from the dead. It fascinates me and leaves me in total awe. This is the power of the Spirit that is at work in me and you. So now the question is, why does God give us this power? Certainly not to boss others around or to push our own agendas, nor to convince others through some form of violence or manipulation that I am right and they are wrong. Certainly not to act in ways that creates chaos. We humans can be simply brilliant at this. God gives us this power so that we can become strong on the inside, as it says in verse 16 of Ephesians 3, so that I can be a specific kind of person, a certain presence in this world, so that I'm not driven by my ego and sow destruction as far as I go, but in order for me to learn to act with wisdom. God gives us this power so that we can be strong in our own personal lives and so that I can ultimately help my world to be more whole and healthy and more life-giving for everyone I deal with. My inner strength, therefore, has a social implication because in this way, I help to create a world where others and myself can flourish in the way God intended for us. What does it mean to be inwardly robust and strong? It means that I am resilient, that I live with equanimity, that I can remain standing in the midst of the storms always present in life. When I'm internally strong, it is much easier to accept the demands of life than when I'm not. When I'm inwardly resilient, I'm less thrown by the internal storms and chaos, and I can live more from the purpose for which I was created. It's extremely important that we as believers talk about inner strength because we have a mental health epidemic at the moment. People no longer know how to be resilient and robust. People, and especially our young people, have not learned how to live from strength that comes from within. And this is an extremely important part of the process with which God wants to work in everyone's life. Because without it, we cannot be a whole, healthy, wise, integrated, and flourishing people. Without it, it's not possible to coexist in life-giving ways. Being resilient means facing problems head-on, instead of despairing or using unhealthy coping strategies. Resilience is the mental and psychic reservoir of strength that helps you to cope with stress and hardship. Resilient people cannot only cope with life's challenges, but can also recover from traumas and come out stronger on the other side. Resilience also means understanding that life is full of challenges and that we simply cannot avoid problems. And this brings us to equanimity. Equanimity can be understood as internal balance or equilibrium. It's also described as mental calmness and an even temperament in difficult circumstances. The ability to act calmly in the midst of internal and external storms. For most of us, it's difficult to live with internal balance, especially when there are a lot of external things happening that turn our world upside down. Equanimity does not mean that you pretend that things do not have an effect on you. It actually means that you realize that everything does have an effect on you, but you manage to remain inwardly stable. In other words, internal balance does not mean not feeling anything and being numb on the inside. Rather, it means that I'm deeply aware of what I'm experiencing, but do not allow what is happening inside me to spill over and onto the people around me. This is easier said than done, because what's going on the inside always has an external effect, mostly without me even realizing it. But if I realize that I can hold the tension of deep internal experience inside myself without projecting my inner turmoil onto other people, the potential to be a life-giving presence becomes possible. The people around me do not feel that they have to walk on eggshells when they deal with me. Equanimity takes me to the place inside me where God meets me in the eye of the storm. Equanimity is easy in the good times, but it is in the midst of the storm where we can become aware and can experience God's power. Many of us look for external support to help us stay upright, almost like scaffolding. It could be our jobs or financial security or a life partner or adult children or our position in society or church. These things are all temporary and like quicksand. God would like us to see that these exoskeletons or external support for what it is and begin to rely more on the endoskeleton that he wants to give us. Or as it's written in verse 17, I pray that Christ will live in your hearts through faith and that you will be rooted and grounded in love. These words communicate a deep-rooted internal power and groundedness, an unshakable strength inside me. Or like the famous 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, after all, the spirit that God has given us does not make us cowards, but fills us with strength, love, and self-control. So how can it happen that we become internally strong and can live from the strength of God? Of course, the spirit has many ways, and we're not going to expand on that today. But for followers of Christ, there is a primary way, namely prayer. The contemplative spirituality has a very special way of prayer, which is known as contemplative prayer or centering prayer. Contemplative prayer is not a new gimmick or a Christianized version of meditation. Contemplative prayer is what happens between me and God when I stop talking for a while. In other words, when I have finished telling God what I wanted to say, I sit in silence and surrender myself to God. Not in order for God to necessarily talk to me, but to create the space for God to work in my innermost being. When I explain to people what contemplative prayer is, one of the questions that always comes up is, does this mean I can no longer talk to God? Of course not. You can talk to God as much as you want. But your prayer doesn't stop when you have finished talking. After you've told God what you wanted, you surrender yourself to his presence and you allow the Spirit of God to work in the soft soil of your heart and psyche. Contemplative prayer, therefore, unlocks the deeper outpouring of the power of God, and it does not happen spectacularly or in such a way that you even know about it. It happens in anonymity, behind the scenes and in complete silence. So much so that it seems as if nothing is happening. During this manner of prayer, my way of thinking and my inner being are transformed to be more in line with God's way of thinking at the deepest possible level. Over time, my relationship with God is no longer a place that I go to, but the place that I come from. It becomes the inner fountain from which I live. And it is steadfast, comprehensive, and incomprehensibly vast. It becomes a constant stream of God's strength in my life. It is in pressing times that I will actually be glad that I've learned to be with God in deeper ways, because in challenging times, our words often become hollow and even repetitive and empty. When I begin to think about prayer in a new and more spacious way, I can quietly yield to God. I can be present with God without words and agendas. And God can work in a different way inside me than when I try to be in control of my interaction with God. So many people of faith tell of unimaginable hard times they've been through and how they somehow managed to endure. If you ask where they got the strength, the answer will always be something like, my time with God gave me strength. This does not mean we become invincible. It's not an ego trip, but rather a state of deep humility and dependence on God, where I realize that I do not have the strength in myself. The strength from God enables me in the most challenging situations not to walk the path of my ego by dominating and manipulating or crumbling, but to be consistent with being wholehearted, vulnerable, authentic, and faithful. Infinitely more things are waiting for us if we live through God's power, because we know that God is busy with more than what I can see at this very moment. Verses 18 to 20 repeatedly uses terms that explain that God is busy with more and is capable of much more than we can understand. Verse 18 says, may we have the power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. In verse 19, Paul prays that we will know this love that surpasses all understanding and that we may be full to the measure of all the fullness of God. And in verse 20, it says that God is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. And he does all this primarily on the inside, where his spirit fills us with inner strength. Of course, we would all like to experience more of God and live from the strength of God, and many of us really want to spend more time with God, but we struggle to do it every day. Most of us simply feel discouraged and don't even try. And then there's also the issue that we too easily resist God's work in our lives because we like to think that we know better or will manage on our own. Until that moment when I realize I really can't do it on my own. The good news is, just begin again every day. Just start over every morning. Perhaps this is one of the most important things we can learn in a deeper relationship with the Lord. To be a beginner. To just keep going back to the source of strength every time. The best thing we can hear today is that the fullness of the strength of God with which he created the world and with which he raised Christ from the dead is at work in us. And how? Through the very simple act of surrendering myself in prayer to God so that in wordless silence, he can do something inside me that unleashes his own power in me. The result is that I can live more and more from God's power and not crumble under the weight of reality. May this prayer of Paul become true in each of our lives. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for the encouragement that we can get from this prayer of Paul to the Ephesians. Thank you that we can also pray that you will strengthen us on the inside so that we can become people who are inwardly robust, inwardly strong, so that we can live as people with resilience and equanimity and be able to withstand all the storms that life throws at us. We pray that we will more and more discover how spending time with you, and not necessarily with words, but times of silent yielding to your presence and the work of your Spirit in us, that we will know how this can transform our inner being so that we will be filled with the strength of the Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you want to make us strong so that we can be a strong presence for you in the world we live in. Amen. May the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, the presence of God our Father, and the workings of the Holy Spirit be with each of us as he gives us the strength to be people of his Spirit, to live as strong people in our lives, and to return to God whenever it's needed. Amen.